Okay, today we come to Psalm number 121. Psalm 121, and we begin our study in verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The writer says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? Sometimes, when trouble hits, a person's first reaction is to look for help from someone or something here on earth. And that is what is meant when the writer says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. He is looking for help from this world. Often, people look to human beings, or some institution, or maybe the government, when things go wrong. But that's not the first place we should go when we are in trouble. We should immediately go to God. And he seems to come to his senses. Look at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens, who made heaven and earth. And so many times, God's people will initially look for help from someone or something in this world, but hopefully, after they shake the dust off of whatever blasted them, they will come to their senses and know that they should turn to God. And that's what the writer does here in verse 2. He seems to come to his senses, and he turns to God. He isn't going to rely on someone or something here on earth for help. He comes to his senses, and he realizes that he needs to rely on God, who made everyone, and who made everything. Why trust in someone, or why trust in something, when you can trust in the one who made everyone and made everything? That just seems to make a lot more sense. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't use people or things to help us, because he certainly does do that at times. But God is always the helper. And that's the thing that needs to be remembered, which is why we should pray to him for help and trust him for help instead of other things. Now, let's look at verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. In other words, our God never dozes off when there's work to be done. God doesn't have to write a note so he will not forget that he needs to do something for us. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't slumber. God doesn't get distracted from us or doze off while he is watching over us. Others who care about you and would probably like to help you may get sick and not be able to help you, or may get tired and not be able to help you, or may be detained for some other reason, but nothing can hinder or distract God. That's another very good reason to rely on him, first and foremost, instead of on others. 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. On your right hand, God is on our, he is on our right hand. That means he's always ready to do whatever we need to have done. When we pray and ask for something, God never says, well, you know, that's a real good prayer, but I'm too busy right now to answer it. God never says, good idea. I like that prayer. That was good. Good idea. But I just can't answer you right now. You're going to have to wait because I'm way too busy. He never says, you know, there are a lot of people ahead of you in the prayer line today. So you're going to just have to wait. Even though your need is urgent, you're going to have to wait because, you know, I've got other people that I have to attend to first. God doesn't have to respond to our prayers like that because He can do all things for all people at the exact same time. 6. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night, meaning God's going to take care of His people. And ultimately, verse 6 is talking about God's people when they are in heaven. Then He's really going to give us all the comfort that we can possibly handle. You know, I believe there's going to be a new sun and a new moon and new stars because the Bible says that God is going to create new heavens and a new earth. Now, there's not going to be need of a sun in that great city, the New Jerusalem. That's what the Bible says, but the Bible doesn't say that there won't be sunlight in other places. And since He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, hey, why not? But one thing's for sure, you can spend all day out in the sunshine, there's not going to be sunburn, or sunstroke, or draining heat and humidity. Everything's going to be just perfect, including our environment. 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. When the Bible says here that God will keep our life, He's not just talking about physical life. It means He's going to keep your soul. God is going to keep your soul. Do you know that the Bible says that no one can snatch you out of Jesus' hands? Satan can't snatch you out of Jesus' hands. Nobody can snatch you out of His hands. That's what the Bible says. We are safe in Jesus Christ. God is going to keep our soul. God says He will keep our souls. And no one can stop Him. Don't worry. If you want God, He wants you. If you want God, He wants you. Somebody else might not want you to want God. But they can't take you away from God. Verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. He will keep your soul, and He will also keep your going out and coming in. Going out and coming in means absolutely everything. God has everything under control as far as we are concerned. Almighty God says that He's going to protect us from every danger. And again, God is not like human beings who do not always have the desire to help. And sometimes they don't have the ability to help. If you belong to God through Jesus Christ, then He's going to protect you in this life from every bad thing. And the only time He allows something bad into the life of His people is when He wants to use it to bring about something good. And we don't like it, but there's nothing like bad for getting us to pray more. So there may be bad that God allows in this life for a good purpose, but even that is temporary. And in the next life, there will not be any bad at all, period. Not for God's people. Let's go into Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David just loved going to the house of God. He loved it when it was time to go to the temple, because God was there in a very special way. God was there visibly on the throne in the form of that cloud. It was different. Someone says, well, He wanted to go to the house of God to see God. That doesn't make sense because God is everywhere. Someone says, I don't need to go to some special place to be close to God because he's with us wherever we are. Well, that's true. He is with us, no matter where we are. However, God was in the temple. He chose to be in the temple in a very visible, special way. David wanted to be there because he wanted to be close to God. And when God decides that he's going to make himself manifest in a special way in a certain place, then we are only hurting ourselves if we don't take advantage of it. And so David would go to the temple to be close to God. He would go to the temple to give God his undivided attention. He would go there to give him his prayers and his offerings. And as a result, he felt very close to God when he was there. God's people who really have a heart for God will be drawn to whatever draws them to God. Verse 2, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And this goes right along with David's love for the temple. Verses 2 through 4 refer to three major religious festivals which all the men of Israel were required to attend in Jerusalem at the temple every single year. So that's what verses 2 through 4 refer to, and let's read them. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city which is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. As you probably know by now, because I've said it many different times, God established the one central place of worship for the Israelites. That special place was the Holy Temple in the city of Jerusalem. And all Jewish men, as I mentioned, were required to attend three major religious festivals a year. As someone says, what a hardship that must have been. Leave your job, leave your home, and whatever it might be, and go all the way down to the Jerusalem three times a year. What a hardship. Not at all. Not a hardship at all. At least it wasn't supposed to be. The only ones who wouldn't want to go to those religious festivals were those who didn't care about God. And it's the same today. The only ones who do not want to go where the Word of God is taught and where special attention is given to God are those who don't care about God. It may have been inconvenient at times to go to these things. I'm sure it was. But at the same time, it was a wonderful experience for those who love the Lord. It was a time to celebrate God. And for sure it was reverent, and for sure it was holy, but it was also meant to be enjoyable. That's how God designed it. In fact, he commanded his people to have a good time when they came to these religious things. He said, you come down and you rejoice before the Lord your God. And that's an order. I command you to have fun with me, is what he was saying. Verse 5. Their thrones for judgment were set. The thrones of the house of David. Jerusalem was a central place of worship, but it was also the capital city of Israel. And that only makes sense, since God was there in the temple, and he was not only Israel's God, ultimately he was Israel's king. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. God loves the entire world. But clearly, Scripture teaches that Jerusalem is special to him. He was there for years in the temple. His son, our Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem for our sins. When Jesus arose from the dead, it was right outside of Jerusalem. When he ascended into heaven, it was right outside of Jerusalem. When Jesus returns, the Bible says his feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives, which is right outside of Jerusalem. No wonder God says, pray for peace in that city. It's a special place to him. We ought to love Jerusalem because God loves it. And we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem because that is a direct prayer request from God himself. And we're always taking prayer requests to God. We should allow him to make a prayer request to us. 7. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. And right now there isn't a whole lot of peace and security around Jerusalem. When God's people obeyed God in the Old Testament, Jerusalem experienced good times. When his people rebelled, Jerusalem experienced all sorts of trouble. And one big reason there hasn't been a whole lot of peace in Jerusalem these days is because God's Old Testament people, the Israelites, rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And when they did that, remember what Jesus said to them? When they were rejecting him, Jesus said to them that they did not know the things that make for their peace. And they have not known peace since they rejected the Son of God. So, you know, you can pray for peace in Jerusalem and then eventually it'll be there, but probably not the way it should be until they repent and turn to Christ. 8. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. And so, you know, he wants his friends and family to have a good life. And that's another reason he prays for peace in Jerusalem. It's hard to have a good life when there's turmoil. And it's hard to have a good life when the society you live in is crumbling because of moral rot. What a difference holiness makes. Holiness and the Judeo-Christian ethic made this country the best place in the world to live in years past. And I wish we would get back to it. Sure would make things a lot less complicated. You don't need a huge police force, and you don't need to pay for it with your taxes when the people of a nation are holy and law-abiding as a result. You don't need all sorts of government laws and regulations micromanaging every little thing the population does when, because of their love for Jesus Christ and their respect for the Word of God, they police themselves. And you don't need the National Guard to patrol the streets to stop looters after a natural disaster when the population has a good, healthy fear of the Lord. It just makes for a better society all the way around. Verse 9. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, David, he always wanted to build a permanent temple for God, a permanent house for God in Jerusalem. But God said he couldn't do it because he was a man of war. He probably didn't even have time because he was always fighting battles. David prayed for peace. David definitely wanted peace. But it seemed like he was always forced into war. And the wars were not good. But they were needed to squash evil so that peace that he prayed for could come to pass. And it did. David did the dirty work, as it were. He had to do all the fighting, but the peace came to pass, and consequently Solomon, David's successor, did build God's temple. 123. To thee I lift up my eyes, O thou who art enthroned in the heavens. The writer kept his focus on God, which is something every single Christian needs to do as we strive for holiness in the world. And as we look forward to the rewards of eternal life in the next world, we need to keep our eyes focused on God Because if we don't, we're going to slip. We're going to mess up. And he says, behold the eyes of servants. Look to the hand of their master as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God till he have mercy on us. Now, see, I told you the dog story about putting a piece of meat on my dog's nose in the past, my former dog's nose, and him not taking it. Well, I used to also put a piece of meat on the floor sometimes, and I'd tell him to sit right in front of it, and I'd tell him not to take it. I'd tell him to sit, he'd sit, and he would just stare at me. I don't even think he would blink. He would just stare at me. And it didn't matter how long I had him sitting there. He would just continue to stare at me. His eyes would be on me. He would stare. And there could be other people in the room saying, hey, Rocky, go ahead and have it. Take it, Rocky. Go ahead, take the meat. You can have it. Go. Go get it. He wouldn't budge. He would keep staring at me. And that must have took willpower. But he wouldn't move, no matter what anybody else was saying to him. And then I'd say, okay, take it. And he'd take it. That's how our eyes should be fixed on God. That's exactly how our eyes should be fixed on God. We should be alert to his commands and to his comforts and watch him and not listen to the voices around us. Not be affected by what other people tell us, but only what God tells us through his holy word. That's the important thing. It doesn't matter if everybody in the world is saying, go ahead and do it. If you know it's wrong in the eyes of God, then don't do it. Wait for his okay. 3. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Well, this guy, he was tired of getting pushed around, and he was tired of hard times, and he tells God as a result, he says, you know, we've had more than enough. This has gone beyond what it should have. And you know what? That's kind of presumptuous for somebody to say to God. Because actually it's God's business to decide if we have had enough of something. It's not our call. That's God's. Just because we do not like something doesn't mean that God is running behind schedule and getting rid of it. 4. Too long our soul has been sated with the scorn of those who are at ease, the contempt of the proud. You know, more than enough and too long, he says, more than enough and too long. And sometimes the trouble may be great, but it's always good to remember that God will not allow those who love him to be overcome by it. God allows it. Sometimes he allows a lot of it. Sometimes until we are almost at the breaking point. When he does allow that much trouble, it is at least in part so that we will pray to him more, which is exactly what the writer is doing right here. So it's accomplishing something right there. 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Israel's enemies were not afraid of Israel. They were afraid of the God of Israel. Israel was puny and untrained for war. Especially in the early days, when they came out of Egypt, they knew how to use a pick and a shovel because they were slaves, but they didn't know how to use a sword and a spear. So they were puny. They were untrained for war, but God was on their side. And that's why Egypt was forced to let them go, because God was on their side. That's why they survived attacks in the wilderness by strong armies like the Amalekites, fierce warriors, because God was on their side. And that's why they survived 40 years in the desert, even though they couldn't farm and they couldn't dig wells, because God was on their side. And that's why they defeated nations in the Promised Land who were more powerful than them. 2. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us. Israel's neighbors always hated her. They were more powerful than her, and for sure they outnumbered her. But God protected Israel. And it's the same with the church. The church is outnumbered. It has often been persecuted and hated, but it survives. Because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. For 2,000 years, it has survived. 4 and 5. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Torrent refers to big and sudden troubles. Israel had big and sudden troubles many times during Old Testament days. The church many times has had big and sudden troubles from a sinful world that wanted it gone. But God has protected his church, and he will, right up until the time that Jesus Christ returns. We'll pick it up right here in verse 6 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.